You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Alexander Bjork produces a brilliant final round to claim a first European Tour title at the Volvo China Open.
I'm so happy. I'm really proud of myself, the way I played all week. Kept patient and the long game was so good entire week, and especially today. I don't think I've ever struck the ball so well, so I'm really happy with that.
It was a day of twists and turns at Topwind Golf and Country Club, with second place eventually going to Spain's Adrian Otegi.
Very happy with the way I played again, the way I felt on the course. I felt very relaxed. I enjoyed a lot. Very happy with 67 on Sunday, and happy with the second place in Volvo China Open.
A review of the best of the action to come, plus we'll look ahead to the next event, the Golf Sixes, with English star Eddie Pepperell. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Richard Boxall, fresh off the M25. How are you, Rich?
I'm all right, fresh off the M25 and fresh off a birthday on Saturday, Robert. You can call me Hines from now on. I'm
57.
Yes,
varieties.
57. Yes, it's
Which
amazing.
Which Richard Boxall are we getting today, then?
Let's get the older Richard Boxall.
Oh, mature, older, mature, thoughtful, yeah. Considered.
No.
Good to see you.
Yeah, very nice to be here. Nice to be here. An excellent win, wasn't it, from Bjork at the weekend.
Richard, Alex Bjork, a man you've been touting for several weeks and months now.
Yeah, I have. I'm going to have a bit of a gloat here, Robert. I was in Madrid and I was in Morocco.
Mm.
And three players were starting to play. They had good seasons, but were starting to play well. It was Alexander Bjork, Jorge Campillo and Adrian Otegi, right? And Otegi has won before, but I was saying that Campillo and Bjork, keep your eye on them because I think a win is not far around the corner of them. I don't often get the chance to gloat, but a win from Bjork and a tied third for Campillo, I was quite pleased with that, really.
Well, you love it when the plan comes together.
I do, yeah.
It's rare, isn't it? Because it's hard to pick the winner from 156 people.
Well, 156, that was close. 53 pros and 3 ams played.
Yeah, you see.
69 made the cut. It was, again, an under par cut, so the course. I'd say lengthwise, 7,200 just over. It was a sort of the average sort of length the players play nowadays. But you don't get bad fields any now, Rob.
No, you don't. No. I mean, anyone that's out there playing is a really good player.
Yeah.
And Alex Bjork has proved himself over last season as well that he is a really good player, and his time was going to come at some point. It all came together at the Volvo China Open, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't straightforward.
No, listen, he had to have a very good weekend, 67-65 at the weekend. And you would think, you know, from the position he was in, what was he, 66-72 first two rounds? I haven't quite got the scores here in front of me, but I will find them in a minute. But I think he was 66-72 to start with.
That's in the pack.
That is in the pack.
Yeah,
well, you knock 72 in after around 66, you're 6 under. You're right, you're in the pack. But, you know, 67-65, as I say, at the weekend, 65 last day as well, that's pretty impressive. There was a few of them putting some low scores in.
Yeah, Jordan Smith had a 64. I mean, there was a good score out there. You always get a feeling on a day that, there's a few decent pins, someone's going to go low. You always get that feeling when you're playing.
I actually used to, I don't know about you, Rob, but I quite like, it was always nice being in contention, but, you know, if you were lying about, I don't know, 25th, 30th going into the last day, it was always nice, wasn't it, to roll in that 67 or 66 and sit back and just see where you finish.
You finished 29th.
Well, that's where you would now.
I've climbed one spot.
Good Lord, yes.
Yeah.
One spot and 700,000.
Two of the players that you named, Campillo and Otegi, consistent performers now on the European Tour, and they both were right in it right up until the end.
Well, four out there, especially for Campillo. Four rounds, you know, broke 70 every day, 69, a couple of 68s and 67 on the final round. But it was good to see Jordan Smith come back, opened up with a couple of 69s, 200 on the Saturday, but 864 final day. So a man I thought who was going to, when he first came out here, I thought wasn't going to be needed to be picked for the Ryder Cup.
Funnily enough,
play his way in.
Funnily enough, Simon Shanks and Matt Hacking.
Yes.
I believe they're at Bowood Golf Club. That's where Jordan gets taught.
And
later on in the show, we'll hear from Eddie Pepperell.
We will hear from
same coaching team, you see.
Yeah, drove past Bowood yesterday.
See how it all comes together.
Mm.
Yeah. A 3-putt from Otegi after a brilliant second shot at 17 was very unexpected.
Well, it is. It's one of those things, isn't it? We always say, Rob, greed is a terrible thing, isn't it? You go for the first one, knock it a little bit by, and then think, and then a little bit of a melting left wrist on the way back, and don't commit through. And all of a sudden, like you say, looking like birdieing, walking off with a bogey.
So Alex Bjork had set the clubhouse target with a par up the last, the par five. Therefore, behind Otegi with the three putt and Matt Wallace, both needed an eagle at the last hole to tie. And they both hit terrific drives. Otegi missed the green left, hit the grandstand, and got a free drop. And Matt Wallace hit such a long one up there. He had a long iron in there that went straight over the top of the flag, just crawling through the back edge of the green. It was a brilliant shot.
Well, yeah, and not the easiest of chips once you go over the back of that 18th green at Topwind Country Club. I know you've seen many shots over the back there, Rob. No, I mean, he must have been holding his breath, I should imagine. Our leader sitting in the clubhouse there, Alexander Bjork, think, you know, one of those two, not that one of those in, and off you go again. 72 holes, not enough.
And both the Spaniard and the Englishman had a different score on 18. It looked like Matt Wallace would make his birdie. He didn't.
No.
And Otegi made a beautiful chip and putt from left of the green to finish second on his own.
Yes, it didn't look like it was going to be that way at all, did it? Especially in the last sort of 4 or 5 minutes of the playing of that hole. But Matt Wallace, you know, he's played some really nice golf, Matt Wallace. Especially since, what was it, when did we see him? He finished really well in that Rolex event in Italy last year, didn't he?
Did you see the practice routine with Matt Wallace?
No, I only saw Matt Wallace walking up to the first tee and got confronted by a snake.
David McNeely, that's his caddy.
Yes.
On the last tee, was stood behind Matt Wallace while he had the driver in his hand with the club sticking out to the right of Matt Wallace as he saw the back of him. And Matt Wallace made a few practice swings with the shaft of the club that his caddy was holding, stopping the swing going any further.
Really?
Yep.
Never seen that before.
You'd never seen that before. He had a couple of those before he then stood over the ball and thrashed it down the middle. But I've never seen that before.
I've never seen anything like that before.
No.
I mean, I do believe they're stopping this lining up, aren't they?
So they should. And the green books. Get rid of the green books.
Answer the phone
you can take the green books out and practice if you want to, you know, rehearse and memorise them, but not when you're in the tournament, you can't have them.
I think it'd be interesting to take yardage books away as well.
Yeah, but then you can always say from that tree, I know it's an 8-iron, or it doesn't really work.
Oh, well, no, they never used to have them.
Yeah, but the players did, like Henry Cotton, they marked on the golf course where they could hit a 5-iron from and worked it from there.
Oh, I see, yeah. Well, yeah,
so it's rough yardages, but it is a guide. So it's always been there.
Yeah, but I think stick to that rather than...
I mean, the only way you can eyeball it properly is no practice round. You go out and see the course for the first time and you go. Because after that, you'll know what you roughly hit from where, don't you?
And here's another thing, Robert. How many times did you play in a pro-am where you'd never played there before and whip it round to 67?
I can't remember doing that once.
No, I don't mean for the front nine. I mean in total.
No, I know what you're saying. Sometimes you play a course blind and you just, you know, it all comes together. It's not preparation, though, in the modern game, is it? You can't really do that.
No, it isn't proper preparation.
No, and a slightly fuzzy of head from a morning tea time after just one too many cervezas in the evening.
Never did that.
That is not preparation either. No, but back in the day, that might have been, you know, there was the odd partaker. I'm not
looking
at you in this. I'm just saying in general terms, sometimes you might feel a bit woolly in the morning.
Woolly. Is that woolly in the head or woolly in the mouth? Do you mean thirsty?
No, woolly as in not thinking that clearly, you know? People falling over on the first tee in Ireland and things like that.
Those were the days.
Though, without giving any names away, but those were the days.
They were. Anyway, come on, let's move on because we seem
worth mentioning, by the way, Lucas Bjerregaard, 64, tied best of the day, just coming up to his defence of the Super Sixes. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, I did see what you did there. Playing where he played with Bjørn Olufsen, didn't he?
And they will be together again.
Defending champions.
Back together. Diddle it.
Stick to the day job.
Social media. Dylan Fratelli said, "Congrats, Alexander Bjork. It's been a long time coming. Proud of your persistence." And some Nordic love shown from Thomas Bjorn. He's every week, Thomas Bjorn. He can't help himself, can he?
Well, he has to be.
Every week he chips in there. He chips in there. Thomas Bjorn said, "Gratis, Alexander Bjork." See, when he does that, it's a bit special when it's a Scandinavian.
Yeah.
He does a bit extra.
Yeah, well,
Thomas.
It's a Danish word. Gratis is Danish for congratulations.
You've been knocking
and
on the
Swedish.
Door for a while, but no big surprise today. More to follow, I'm sure.
I saw Thomas today.
Did you?
And I said that Alexander Bjork over breakfast. I saw him porridge and a bit of syrup in it, you know.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Was that someone else's or you actually ate
that? No, that was actually mine, yeah.
What, with the sausage sticking out in the middle of it?
Yeah, and a bit of bacon floating.
Oh, lovely.
Anyway, Burtington's.
Yes.
And I said to him, I said, "That Alexander Bjork," I said, "he's a good player, isn't he?"
Mm.
He said, yes, he is a good player. I said, "So's Matt Wallace." And I rolled in a few. I said, "So's that Jorge Campillo. He's playing quite well." And I said, "Do you know what?" I said, "It'd be a lot easier if you just had 12 picks, wouldn't it?"
And?
He moved on to his meeting.
Did he move on quickly?
Quick-ish.
Did you get the sort of the big push sideways?
No, I got the...
Box saw, you're blocking my view.
A wry smile.
Did you wry smile from the captain? Captain Bjorn. Okay, let's hear from the man of the moment, winner of the Volvo China Open, Alexander Bjork, who was asked, for the moment he felt like victory was in the bag.
I would say the birdie on 17, then I knew I had a good chance of birdie 18, and if I made par on 18, it was still a really good chance. So, yeah, when I made a putt on 17, it felt like, okay, you have a really good chance now, and yeah, just do it.
It's a packed leaderboard. Were you looking at it all day, or were you trying to avoid it?
I was trying to avoid it until like hole 12, but then I saw it, and then I was looking at it, of course, because you saw people finished on 16, and I was 15 under at the moment, so I kind of knew I needed to make birdies to well pass them and then keep the other guys behind. But when you know someone's finished, you set a target that you need at least 17, so that's what I did, and I tried to keep making birdies.
Sum up the feelings of your first victory here this week.
It's tough to describe, but I'm so happy. I'm really proud of myself the way I played all week, because I had the second and the third round, I had a lot of putts not dropping, so I kept patient, and the long game was so good entire week, and especially today, I don't think I've ever struck the ball so well, so I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, great performance from Alex Bjork, and obviously delighted with his first victory on the European Tour. His win comes in his 44th European Tour event and follows a tie for second at the UBS Hong Kong Open and third at last week's Trophy Hassander this season. So, as Richard was saying, it has been coming. He also becomes the first Swede to win the Volvo China Open and extends his country's run of seasons with the European Tour win to 30 years in a row.
I have to tell you, more than once in a year.
Now for the rest of the leaderboard. Runner-up Adrian Ortegi was delighted with this week, despite coming up just short in his quest for a second European Tour title.
I mean, very happy with the way I played again, the way I felt on the course. I felt very relaxed. I enjoyed a lot. And yeah, very happy with the 67 on Sunday and happy with the second place in Volvo China Open.
Actually, I picked up Adrian Ortegi in Morocco last week, him and Carlos Puigem.
In Morocco?
In Morocco.
What sort of Casbah were you
no,
in?
No, well, it was the 12th, a par 5.
Right.
So anyway, he gave us a ride on the bug, gave us a ride, so, and this other chap got on, and I didn't know, I had to look. He's one of those, I had to look at the front of the bag, you know?
Right.
Anyway, it was Carlos Puigem. What a really nice chap, and they relayed this 12th hole, and his ball was on a little bit of an upslope. And all you could see was the top of the flag, right? And
yeah.
It was all downhill to the hole. I mean, it was an impossible shot like that. And he looked at me. He says, "Hey," he says, "You want to see some Spanish hands? Want to see some Spanish hands?" So I said, "Yeah." So I sat back on the bag. He crossed my legs. He got down with a big wide stance, like Seve would get down, you know, and bent the knees, well forward.
You're painting a picture. I've got it.
Used to do radio.
Yeah.
And plays this shot, Robbie, with a lob wedge, lobs it up in the air like that, and then sprints to the top of the hill. And so did I. Not quite as quick as him, but I sprinted to the top of the hill. One, two, three, four, five bounces. Trickle, trickle. Straight in.
In.
In. He went soft hands. I said, that's fantastic. I said, I must move on now.
If you were, I mean, you were, you know, one of a bunch of very bright young English players at the time, Richard, when you turned pro.
Yeah, oh, you and I, yes.
God, no. Forgot myself.
No.
So what I was going to say to you is, you're obviously English, but if you weren't English, if you could have chosen a nationality to be part of the gang, part of the group, who would you be one of? Chosen.
I would like to have gone Spain.
You'd have gone Spanish, would
yeah.
you? All right.
And then I'd probably...
No, but with reason, please.
Spain...
Because...
You're going to say Rioja, weren't you?
You're going to say Rioja and sangria.
I like the way they live.
Casa Paco and a steak that's 4 inches thick.
I like the way they live, you know what I mean? And then I may have eased into France as a close second.
Is France the backup?
France is the backup.
Because
yeah.
Think of all those, you know, those experienced French players that you knew at the time. Avray is still playing, of course, and
yeah.
Jacques Lannes. And then before that, you had Thomas Levay and Jean van der Velde.
Yeah, but I also think that...
You would have been Richard.
Richard.
Richard. Okay. So you would have been numero uno Espanol and le deuxième place, français.
Oh,
fantastique. Now, a tied third finish for Matt Wallace, who was asked to sum up his initial thoughts on his week in Beijing.
Gutting. Probably one of the best shots I've ever hit into that last hole. Get no lie, no shot, and then missed the putt and finished third.
Though a bit annoyed about it now, when you reflect on this, it's a great week for you, though, as a whole.
I played great, and when you play great, you want to win. You want to know you can win. I kind of got a little bit unlucky with every bad shot I hit today. I probably hit three bad shots and had to chip out sideways on three and had a really bad lie on 10, made bogey. I'll learn from it, but it's hard to take right now.
Good ball striker, Matt Wallace, by the way.
He is, yeah. Good player all round. As I said earlier, yeah. Rob, you know, ever since Italy last year, he finished top five, I think it was, in that Rolex event. Certainly top 10.
He held a shot from the back of the green, didn't he? Going like a train right right over the back, down the front, shoot, and scuttered it straight in.
Oh, yes, that chip.
Remember?
From the back.
Oh, gosh, it was going a little bit firmish.
It was going off the other side.
So, you know, he didn't have a good break here, but in some weeks you do get a good
six
break.
Six of one and half a dozen, Robbie.
Do you believe it all evens itself out in the end?
I think it does even itself out.
Or were you just unlucky?
I think, God, I was unlucky a few times.
Oh, my
but
God, I was so unlucky.
I reckon, you know, in the long run, it all evens itself out in the end.
Matt Wallace was shocked on his way to the first tee when he encountered a snake.
Yes, he did. Yes. Have you ever encountered anything like that on the way
to
the first tee?
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you my snake story. In Spain, hardly missed the fairway. I was about 50 yards right at the fairway in PGA Tour Catalunya.
Yes.
And I'm a long way off piste. And I sort of corner my eye, I see 7 or 8 foot branch, and I'm just ignoring. And as I got close to it and was crunching through the twigs and the leaves and everything.
Oh, God, painted the picture.
It moved. Now, initially, my brain said, well, it can't move. And then I took a close look at it.
And it was a snake.
Like a 7 foot snake. And me and it jumped up in the air and flew off in opposite directions. I mean, I don't know if it was poisonous or anything. I have got no idea. But I can tell you in the early days, sort of my first trip to Africa, we did, you know, at the time it was Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Kenya, Zambia. There were always snakes on the golf courses there. And I was very wary. And when the caddies, the local caddies, trod carefully, you knew it was time to just shout. Have you found it yet? Top 10, Richard, from the Volvo China Open, please.
Okay, in a tie from 7th to 10th was Choi, Paul Dunn, Wang and Ashen Wu. They were on a total of 14 under par. 6th on his own was Lucas Bjerregaard, who will be defending with Torbjørn Olesen at the end of the week. Matt Wallace was tied 3rd with Campillo and Jordan Smith at 16 under. Adrian Otegi, winner of the Paul Laurie match play last year, was 17 under 2nd. And Alexander Bjork finally getting his first win, 1-1, 18 under.
Now, last week's predictions, we're doing a new system this year. It's the presenters versus the co-presenters, so you get points for different finishes, 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, nothing after that. But if you miss the cut, and it can be significant, you get minus 5. So in your absence, Richard, you and Murray went for Bernd Wiesberger, MC, minus 5 points, and Sam Horsfield, who finished 32nd, but no points. I went for Afif Bhanra and Kyrgios, who both tied 45th, no points, but sort of by default, I'm this week's winner with 0 points. Versus the minus 5 that you and Murray managed to accumulate.
Well,
it's not impressive.
No, it's not. But can I say...
You can.
...that I'm looking forward to getting a few points this week with 16 teams in it.
Well, 16 teams. You'll get top 16 finish for you, Richard, again.
I would imagine,
top 16
Rob, another
finish.
Top 20.
By the way, the overall score is 100 points to the presenters, and the co-presenters have 30. Richard, you're under pressure to perform.
Behind. I was 70 behind.
Now, in the fancy race to the bye game, Nick Borman now leads the overall global standings, while Vicky Gilgariff got the most points last week. Meanwhile, in the race to the bye show mini-league, Chris Cole still leads the way, while fellow listener Andy Smith registered the most points from the Volvo China Open. Top 10, Richard. Race to the bye, please.
OK, top 10, Rob. Cameron Smith is in 10th. 9th, Alexander Bjork. Nice big leap there. Alexander Levy is 8th. 7th is Tyrrell Hatton. McIlroy is 6th. John Rahm is 5th. 4th is Kiradek Appibhanrat. Tommy Fleetwood is 3rd. Shubhankar Sharma, the Indian, still right up there, 2nd spot. And Patrick Reed leads the way.
Richard, the Ryder Cup rankings, please. Two lists to peruse.
There are. There's 4 from the world rankings and there's 4 from the European Tour list. So I'll give you the European Tour list first. Is Tyrrell Hatton, 2nd Justin Rose, 3rd John Rahm, 4th Ross Fisher. Then from the world rankings, players who aren't already exempt, who aren't in, goes Rory McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood, Garcia and Alex Noren. So right now, I think it looks quite good, don't you?
It does, yeah. But there's a lot of big points to play for between now and closing time. So that will change. However, I think Thomas Bjorn will be absolutely thrilled with the way it's shaping up.
He will. Do you think Matthew Fitzpatrick will make it?
I think he's got every chance, Rich.
Yeah.
If he has a good summer, he's got every chance of making the side.
Yeah.
For the second time.
Yeah, Fleetwood, you think Fleetwood will obviously... Yeah. These positions here now are quite rock solid, aren't they?
That's a gimme.
Yeah, McIlroy.
Gimme.
Fleetwood.
Gimme.
Garcia.
Gimme.
Noren.
I think he's in.
Rahm.
Gimme.
Rose.
Gimme.
Fisher.
work to do.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Now.
And four picks, of course. I missed that bit out at the end.
What I'm saying is they'll be in the 12. The
people I see what you're saying.
They'll get picked or whatever. Yeah. But I think the people that I said were gimmies are definitely going to be playing.
Yeah. He's got a tough choice with selection, to be honest, Thomas Bjorn with his four picks.
Yes.
In the respective players.
Well, somebody's going to be very disappointed. Yeah. Do you think 1 to 12 will get in?
I probably...
You know, I think it goes four in the world, then it goes... Then I think the next ranking list continues on the race to the bye.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, you've got some really good... I mean, what do you do?
Somebody's going to be gutted, aren't they?
Yeah,
and they somebody's are. Probably finished ahead of somebody's going to be leapfrogged.
Yeah, I would. You know, the great thing about those picks is you've got to really choose the players that are playing well.
Look, the fact is, you either make... If you don't make the top eight, there's no guarantees, is there? So that's the only way to play your way in. Play your way in, otherwise you're at the behest and the whims of the Ryder Cup captain, Thomas Bjorn.
You heard that from Robert Lee.
In other news, Alexander Bjork wasn't the only first-time winner on the European Tour this week, as Denmark's Joachim B. Hansen claimed a first European challenge to a title at the Turkish Airlines Challenge. And despite a promising finish from European Tour stars Tommy Fleetwood and Chris Paisley in America, it was the American duo of Billy Horschel and Scott Piercy who claimed the PGA Tour's Zurich Classic at New Orleans. Tommy Fleetwood, by the way, gave Chris Paisley a kiss, Richard, after he holed his third shot.
Did he really?
He held his third shot for an eagle at the last.
Cheek to cheek.
No, great. They're obviously two pals that get on well, and when it goes well in a situation like that, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, no, you can't.
Tommy was saying how much he'd enjoyed it, how much fun they'd had. Well, we've got all that bonhomie to come in the Golf Sixes, Richard. On to that in a second. Before that, top 10 in the world, please.
Okay, Patrick Reed is 10th. 9th is Brooks Koepka. Hideki Matsuyama, 8th. 7th, Rory McIlroy. Ricky Fowler, 6th. Justin Rose is 5th. 4th is Jordan Spieth. John Rahm is 3rd. 2nd is Justin Thomas. And still leading the way is Dustin Johnson.
Now we can't wait for this. The Golf Sixes coming up at the weekend. It's going to be played again at the Centurion Golf Club, just north of London. Now, Richard, before we get into the meat and the bones of this, give us the what it's like to play in it, what you have to do, the format.
Well, yeah, what you have to do, first of all, is accept that there's going to be some noise, which is always, you know, it's something, it's not a 72-hole event, Robert. It's going to be something that's very different. And there's going to be four groups of four. They'll play round robin on Saturday. It's only 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. They'll play a round robin. So that in effect, if you went the full way, you'd play 18 holes, if you see what I'm saying. Top two go through. You get 3 points for a win and 1 for a draw. Same counts for the last 16 quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals, which will be played on the Sunday. And if there's a tie after 6 holes, you play a little par 3, which is just to the right of the 18th hole, and you flick a little wedge or a sand iron in there, and off you go. Sometimes it's nearest the pin, sometimes it's nearest the pin. It doesn't include if it's off the green. Depends. They make the rules up as they go along for that one.
Very good, Rich. That was pretty straightforward. Now, who's playing with who?
Okay, some of the teams that are playing here this week, Robert, I'm going to start Lukas Bjerregaarden to Bjørn Olesen as defending champions. I'm just going to pick one from each group that are playing. Thomas Bjorn and Katrina Matthew, European captains team. They're in Group B. Group C, Alexander Levy and Romain Wattel from France. And then we go to the last group, Group D. I'm going to just tell you that Eddie Pepperell's playing with Matt Wallace.
So countries are represented by two players, and there are special teams, as in England women, Georgia Hall and Charlie Hull. Yeah. I'm really interested to see how they both get on. Two really good ball strikers, as are Carlotta Siganda and Mel Ree. They're two long hitters on the Ladies European Tour or the LPGA Tour. So European women they represent. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Listen, one thing's for sure, Rob, it'll be a lot of fun.
I would love it if a ladies team won it.
I thought you were going to go into a Kevin Keegan impersonation.
Well, that didn't work out so well for Kevin on that particular occasion.
No, it didn't, did it? No. But I'd
love it if we beat them.
You'd like to see the ladies. It would be interesting, but I don't know.
But tell me what I'm going to find. You know, is it loud? Is there music? Is there
there's music. It's quite loud coming onto the first tee. You've got a clock shot or a shot clock, whichever way around you want to put it, on one hole. Driving accuracy, birdies for good. You've also got the final hole, which has got the playoff hole on it, and you've got plenty of people milling around. It's not very expensive to get in and come and watch for the weekend, Robert.
So it's an event.
It's an event, and it can be over very quickly. You know, a game.
Six. Yeah. Well, of course it can.
Six holes.
6-0. So you can,
excuse me, match play. So you can, you know, win the first three. You're 3 out of 3 to go.
So what's the least amount of holes you can play? Four and two
is the best you can get.
Yeah. So 4 and 2 is a. It doesn't thrashing. Sound that bad, but
no.
It's a thrashing, isn't it?
4-2 flat.
I'll leave the rest to you. No, it's going to be great fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, as is our next guest on the show. And I am delighted to say that one of the star names is now joining us on the Race to Dubai show, Eddie Pepperell. How are you, Eddie?
I'm well, thanks, Rob. Yeah. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're all good, Rich.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was 57 on Saturday, which is a bit worrying.
That's twice Eddie's age.
That is. How old are you, Eddie?
It is, yeah. I'm 27, so...
Oh, my Lord, that's twice plus 3 years older than you. Mm. Anyway, mentally, I'm still 28.
You're talking to a man that's half your age, but older than you mentally, Richard.
Yes, he is older than me.
There's no question.
There's no question he's older than me mentally. No question.
So what are you looking forward to this week, Eddie?
The Golf Sixes, of course, yeah, at the end of the week. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Heading up on Thursday, doing a bit of stuff at Wentworth, actually, with Matt. Some media stuff, and then across, and just get ready for the weekend. It'll be good fun. Looking forward to it.
It'll be a little bit of a laugh. First of all, you know, you must, in your amateur days, you must have played a fair bit of greensomes. What do you make of the setup here for this tournament?
Well, greensomes, actually, we never played. It was four balls or foursomes, actually. It was always foursomes. So greensomes is going to be a good format. I think
right.
It's a perfect format for this event, obviously. You know, fairly fast-paced, but lots of birdies, hopefully, as well. And, I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, it's statistically, if you were to look at mine and Matt's games, I think we match up incredibly well in terms of our strengths. However, it's obviously 6-hole matches, so whether that can come out over 6 holes, I'm not so sure. But I'm certainly, you know, if we play well, Matt's obviously playing well, and I'm not so much there to win, but I'm there to have a good time. But I know Matt will be probably a bit more competitive than me, so we'll have a laugh.
Eddie, do you like Matt Wallace?
Well, that's a bit of a harsh question, Eddie, isn't it? Do you like Matt Wallace? It's like somebody saying, do you like Robert Lee? I mean, you can't, you know, I can't really come out with the honest answer there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's...
If you've been forced together, you know what I mean?
Not necessarily, although I did make sure that I was being paid to show up before I confirmed, so...
Oh, very good. So, the pressure of the week would be what?
There is none. I don't feel any pressure playing the Golf Sixes. You know, I'm there. Surely to have fun. It's golf in the UK, and I would never turn that down. It's, you know, there's no pressure on it for me. I'm there just to have fun, and I think the forecast looks great, which is brilliant. Hopefully there'll be a few people there. You know, I know the whole idea of this event from the tour's perspective is just to introduce as many new people to the game as possible via different kind of formats and fun kind of event, which this is obviously hopefully going to be. So, no pressure, just pure enjoyment.
Apart from yourself, Eddie, there's some, you know, proper players playing here. You've got Alexander Bjork, who won yesterday in China. Adrian Otegi, who, you know, a second win, is not far around the corner. You played much golf with those two?
I played quite a bit growing up with Adrian, because he was a bit of a young kind of superstar. And, he's kind of, you know, really, I think, not reinvented, but his game's come on a lot from when he was junior, because he was quite short. But now he seems to have, you know, he works hard and he's done really well, I think. I played a bit with Alex last year, Alexander Bjork, and he's a bit older, I think, than people would probably know. And it's a bit of a surprise to see him take as long as he has, kind of come out on tour and do well. Because when you look at his game, there's not weakness and he's such a solid golfer. It's hard not to see him really for the next 5-6 years earning a lot of money on tour and probably winning golf tournaments. And now he's got one.
Now, you covered this last year, Richard. Do they have walk-on music?
They have walk-on music.
See, I wanted to know that before I asked Eddie, what's his tune of choice?
Well, yes, I'll just tell you, they've got the great big, what are those things called?
Speakers?
No, they're two of those. But they're great things that let off the...
Flares?
Not flares, no, it's like steam.
Steam.
But it's not steam.
But it's not steam.
Eddie,
vapor.
What's it called?
Vapor.
Vapor. What
vapor,
is it?
I don't know.
Anyway, there's two of those, and there's thunderous music, rapturous applause, and there's somebody in a suit that'll be bumping into you on the first tee.
Now we're just trying to get Eddie's tune of choice.
Yeah.
Because does Matt choose the tune, or is it Eddie that chooses the tune?
Well, I don't know, and it's going to be difficult as a team to choose the song. If it were me, and I said this at the start of the year when I was asked, I would go for Radiohead and Creep, but that's probably just to that's probably more a personal choice.
How would you describe your music collection or the music you listen to?
Pretty diverse, really. You know, I have my moments where there's few spells where I listen to, say, the Smiths or the Stone Roses and that kind of music, and then I'll have little spells where I'm kind of willing to listen to the sort of modern day chart music, if you like, or I'd just turn it down and talk to myself.
What you don't know, Eddie, is that Richard is in rhapsody right now because he's since found out through the weekend that ABBA are releasing two new songs.
Oh, do you remember? I don't know whether you'd remember ABBA, do you?
Well, obviously I know they are. I mean, I don't yet remember.
I mean, Richard's theme tune is Money, Money, Money. That's all I can say.
I once won a dancing competition. Did you know that, Eddie?
No, but I can imagine.
No. It was about 1:30 in the morning. I was only walking across the floor to get another beer, and they said, and the winner is...
Richard Boxall. So, Eddie, going into the week then, is it just all guns blazing and see where it takes you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of using it a little bit as a preparation for Sicily, in terms of purely on the golf front, in terms of if I'm going to look at what kind of shots I'm hitting on the course and get, you know, any serious about that, then that's my focus. But other than that, it's just to be out there, interact with people and have fun with Matt, have fun against whoever we play against. Probably definitely chuck in some banter, and if it gets tight, then I'm sure I'll get a little more, how can I put it?
Chirpy.
Visceral with that. Yeah, chirpy. Sure. Or even nasty. If it needs to come down to that, then I'm prepared to do that.
That's what we like to hear.
We like win at all costs. Win at all costs, Eddie.
That's right, when it all costs, I'm up for that. So is there a shot clock this year as well?
Yes, there is. There's one. Okay. I can't remember whether it's the 4th or the 5th, but it's there. And also, there's the nice little value of, you know, it's all a little bit of fun, Eddie, and you might walk off with €100,000 each Sunday afternoon.
Well, you know me, Rich, I don't play golf for the money.
No, you know me. I did.
As regards the shot clock, Eddie, would you describe yourself as a dawdler or, you know, in that 30-second thing? Will it be a strain for you or easy peasy?
That'll be easy peasy. I'm a dawdler walking up the field. I'm like Baloo the bear, between shots and then over shots. I'm pretty fast.
You're paratory. So, are you paratory quick?
I'm not as quick as that. That's mental. But I'm certainly not Max Kiefer slow.
That's fantastic. Listen, Eddie, have a great week at the Super Sixes. A lot of luck to you and Matt, your partner, and we'll see you up there.
See you on Friday.
Cheers, boys. Look forward to it.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Cheers.
Well, it's great to hear from Eddie. He's obviously looking forward to partnering Matt Wallace up in up at Centurion Golf Club, and they'd probably start as one of the favourites, Rich.
I think they probably would, yes.
Don't let me tempt you, because I'm giving you two picks.
Yeah, okay. Listen, my two picks are Group B, I'm going to go Pablo Larrazábal and Adrian Otegi from Spain.
Well, you did say earlier on the show that if you had to choose a nationality to be part of, you know, Richard Boxall, you would be part of the Spanish team.
Correct.
So I see what you've done there, yes.
You've done that. Yep. And I'm going to go for our lads from England, Eddie Pepperell and Matt Wallace.
Because
I like them.
Because you like them.
And they're playing well.
Yeah.
And they've both won tournaments this season.
They're both on top form, actually.
Yeah, could go for George Coetzee and Hayden Porteous because they're both playing well.
I thought I got to pick.
Well, you do, but, you know, I do like...
Shall I?
Well, you could. I think you probably won't.
You're
go
not
for
going
it.
To colour my judgment at all, Richard. I can assure you that. I'm going to go for the two ladies' teams.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go for Georgia Hall and Charlie Hull,
right,
who represent England women, and the European women are represented by Carlotta Siganda and Mel Reid.
Okay, watch this space.
That is it for now. Next week, we'll look back at the Sixes and also ahead to the Rocco Forte Sicilian Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat. Must find some more mediums by europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. And don't forget to rate and review it on iTunes. But for now, from Richard Boxall, who's gone for?
Pablo Larrazábal and Adrian Otegi from Spain, and from England, Eddie Pepperell and Matt Wallace.
And myself, Robert Lee, has gone for the England women, Georgia Hall and Charlie Hull, and the European women, Carlotta Siganda and Mel Reid. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.